Our New Testament reading is Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 1. "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe. According to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
In the name of Jesus, amen. So today is not Ascension Day, but it is the day we are celebrating the Ascension, Ascension Sunday observed. We like our holidays in the church. There are a lot of them. There are extra holidays that we celebrate, some that we forget to celebrate, some we choose to celebrate on our own, perhaps. There are different feast days. If you look in your hymnal, there is even feast days for the saints that have gone before us, not that we might pray to them, but remember their good works in service to the gospel. There are many holidays, many of them of great significance, and a lot of them that we just sometimes skip right over. This day, Ascension Day, is one that we don't always remember to celebrate. And yet, it is vastly important for us. It is amazing. When you picture like the big holidays in the church year, right? We would say maybe Christmas and Easter. And certainly Christmas is picked up more by everyone else. I don't see too many Easter lights up on houses. But those are two of the big ones, right? Jesus was born for us, and then he died and he rose again. In fact, died and rose again. Well, we'll add a third holiday, maybe. We have Good Friday is really big. Well, and of course, right before Good Friday, there's Maundy Thursday, the day we know that Jesus instituted and started communion. These are all big days, big important days. Well, then what's the next one? Maybe we might say Pentecost. I mean, it seems big enough that our church will stay decorated for about half a year because of it. Must be a really big one. That's a good one. The Holy Spirit came. That's good. Well, what's another big one after that? I don't know. Is it a holiday when we celebrate my birthday? No. Don't suppose. Well, we don't get to have ordinations of new pastors every year. Well, it might feel that way after last year, and then this summer, too. We'll get another one. Those are big holidays also. So many holidays to choose from. What's another big one? Well, today we're going to celebrate one of them, Ascension Day. The day where Jesus truly finished all of his earthly ministry. Today, in our Bible study before, we went through a hymn that was written by Martin Luther that, in doing it, it lays out all of Jesus' earthly ministry. Could Christians one and all rejoice? It's a great one. You should look it up. I got a couple extra Bible study sheets. You can take one home. In that, though, it's so neat to see all of what Jesus did, being born of a Virgin Mary, living a perfect life that he might give it to you, giving us a new commandment to love others as ourselves, giving us Holy Communion that we might receive his body and blood, and ultimately giving us his life so that his body and blood would remove our sins and make us holy in God's sight. And then to rise from the grave, to show that he has defeated death itself, and to give you the promise that though you will die, you will not stay dead, but you will be resurrected from the grave. And here, on Ascension Day, observed, we celebrate that he has risen into heaven, not just from the grave, but to be seated at the right hand of the Father, giving you that promise as well. He is preparing a place for you. He sits there, I love that the Bible says, as our advocate, advocating for you. You get to be Jesus's plus one, or plus a billion, I don't know. He says, he's with me, she's with me. You're welcomed into heaven because Jesus is there to bring you there. Now, as we remember all of Christ's earthly ministry, it's fun to look at that last day. There are some really fun and amazing things to read about, and some pretty hilarious ones too. Perhaps one of my favorite funny parts of the Bible is in this section, the readings from today. First, in Luke 24, though, in verse 45, it says, "Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem.'" One last Bible study with Jesus there. Right before he ascends into heaven, he opens their minds to understand the scriptures. Now, I didn't pay Marty to say that I studied a lot and a lot and a lot. Thank you, though. It's very nice. That's also very assuming of you that I study at seminary, but I did, don't worry. It is great to study Scripture. It's wonderful. It's fun. You learn great things. You learn life-giving things. That's why we have Bible studies. That's why we have worship, where we expand on God's Scripture. That's why you're told, please, take your Bibles, read them, enjoy them. There's such great stuff to learn in there. And it's great that you do it as often as possible, because, indeed, I am not Jesus, Julie, and I'm not as good at helping you understand the Scriptures, nor is Pastor Casting with his Thursday Bible study, nor Melanie with her women's Bible study. None of us could live up to that. But we do believe that when we read God's Word, when we study it together, that Christ is there and he is helping us understand what it means, what good news there is for us. So as he's doing this with them, he then tells them in verse 48, "You are witnesses of these things. You, my disciples, have witnessed this. You've seen this. You know this. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you." Ultimately, that they would have power from on high. They will receive this power, this gift that will help them bring this good news into the whole world. And so actually, to tell you the truth, today is kind of part one of a two-part series given to us by the church, not by me. We get today of his Ascension Day, but we also get the promise of what we'll celebrate next Sunday on Pentecost, the sending of the Holy Spirit. I won't get too much into that. That's for next Sunday. But today, at least, we'll keep going with the story. As he's done all of this, he takes them out into the countryside as far as Bethany. And there, they're asking him this question, which is kind of silly. Remember, he's just opened up their minds to the Scriptures. And they ask, "So, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" Remember, they're still learning something different here. This is all news to them still. Even though they've been with Jesus for 3 years, for several hundred years, they had been thinking the Messiah was going to restore a literal earthly kingdom to Israel. Kick out the Romans, make it a strong, you know, give them a good strong king, just like David. He doesn't correct them or rebuke them. He says, "No, it's okay. It's not for you to know time or season that the Father is fixed by his own authority." That's very nice of him. "Come on, guys, I've just opened you to your minds to understand the Scriptures, and you're asking about an earthly kingdom?" He reacts more politely than I would have, I suppose. But he says, "Don't worry, you'll receive power from on high to tell the whole world about what I've shared with you." And then we get to the funny part. Verse 9, "When he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight." Well, that's not so funny, I suppose. That's pretty great. We'll get there. "But while they were gazing into heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes. And they said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven.'" Two angels appear next to the disciples, and they have to, like, get their attention and say, "So why are you standing here looking up into heaven? Jesus will come back." This may not seem funny to you, but consider this. Nearly every other time an angel shows up, what do they say? "Do not be afraid," right? Normally it's, "Oh, an angel's appeared. That's the most exciting thing happening right now." But instead, two angels appear next to the disciples. They're like, "Men of Galilee, shh, shh, we're watching Jesus. Hold on. No, not yet. No, I can still see his feet." They're looking for him. They're trying to see Jesus going up into heaven, and these angels show up trying to, "Come on." Of course, I'm being a little silly too. But the angels have to show up and remind them that Jesus said something to them. "Go and remain in Jerusalem. You'll receive power from on high to be my witnesses, to tell the whole world about everything that I've done." And yet they wanted to catch that last glimpse of Jesus. Can you imagine being with the very Son of God, seeing him resurrected from the grave, showing that he truly is indeed God, You'd want to soak up every last second too, I should hope. How great is it then that just as the angel said, he will return. In the same way you've seen him going up, he'll come down in that second returning. Anyone who hasn't already gone into heaven to see him yet, they're going to see him there for sure. You will get to see Jesus. Not just the tip of his heel ascending into heaven. You'll get to see him face to face. He is there preparing a place for you. Just as he has gone up into heaven and just as he's going to return from heaven, you can be sure he can and will do the same for you. Not only has he paid for your sin, not only has he given you the promise of life after death, he has given you the promise that you too will be brought up into heaven with him. His life is your life. His death is your death. His resurrection is your resurrection. His ascension is your ascension. All those who die in the faith or should be here when Jesus returns, you will be resurrected. You will ascend into heaven and you will see the glory of God such that when the angels are there, angels, I'm watching Jesus, you'll be excited. It'll be wonderful. We'll all be there celebrating. What a great and glorious day to consider. What a great day to celebrate this Ascension Day. Maybe you can put it in your pantheon of favorite holidays in the church here. I don't know where you're going to put it. May I recommend not before Easter or Christmas, but somewhere up there. Top five, I don't know. I won't make a list for you. But certainly what a great and wonderful day to remember for the importance for us. Jesus Christ, of course, continues to open our minds to understand the scriptures. It is good for us to study them, both his words and the words of those who shared what he did on earth. Study the words of the scriptures that came before him. I like pointing that out to people, that when Jesus said, when we hear that he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, he meant the Old Testament stuff, the stuff that we sometimes jump right past and over to get to the Gospels. The whole of God's Word is important and wonderful to study, that we might continue to have our minds opened and see these great and wonderful things, to know that Jesus Christ has given you a great and wonderful promise of life everlasting with him. Even to see some pretty funny things in there too along the way. But on this Ascension Day observed, 3 days after, we look forward also to Pentecost Sunday. We look forward to not just knowing that we will have this life everlasting, but indeed you too have a job here on earth, a calling here on earth. You didn't get to witness his literal resurrection into heaven, or ascension into heaven, but you are a witness of all that God has done for the whole world, what he has done for your life. His directive to go and wait on the power of the Holy Spirit for the disciples. Well, you don't have to wait. The Holy Spirit has already given you faith. The Holy Spirit has already given to you what Christ has won for you. When we say that Christ is in you, it's because he sent his Spirit to be there, to fill you with his love and his life eternal. And so again, on this Ascension Day, know that Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. And know that he'll bring you there to heaven with him. This promise is yours in Jesus' name. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. And may God bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.